75 is not our text. Our text is Psalm 110. But I want to show you something in Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 22. Sorry about that. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord and he'll sustain you. I just want to talk to someone. He'll sustain you. God is not trying to figure out your life. He knows exactly where you are and where you're going. The journey might appear long and might appear like you really don't know where you are and where you're going, but he will sustain you. Reminds me of one story Brother Egan told some years ago. Said, someone came to him and said, tell the Lord to take half of my burdens. I think I can carry the rest. You know, and Brother Egan, he laughed. He said, that must have come from a very serious place, that you don't want to cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Just let him take half. Amen. But I'm telling you, cast your burdens upon the Lord. And oftentimes when you look at burdens, when you say burdens in church, I don't have money. I don't have the financial resources, but it's not all about money. Amen. Peace is a good thing to have, yeah? Do you think peace is a good thing to have? To live in peace of mind. Hallelujah. So tell yourself something besides it, cast your burdens upon the Lord. It's like that person doesn't like you that much. Yeah, so cast means to throw it, right? So you throw it. Psalm 110. Let's get our text now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. I trust you with your Bible because no one is going to display it on the screen. It's going to be an insult to be displaying Bible on the screen for you. You that you have Bible. You're a Christian. You're a fire Christian. You don't read Bible from the screen, do you? Someone right there, just kidding. Verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength from Zion. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. Can we read verse 3 together? Thy people shall be willing in the day of your power. In the beauty of holiness, from the womb of the morning, I have cast a heart. Alright, do that. So it says, the people shall be willing in the day of your power. So we said last week that there's a connection, and it's not small, between what God is going to do and the willingness of the people. My willingness and God's manifestations are connected. You know, Jesus asked that man by the pool of Bethesda who has been there for 38 years. So 38 years is a long time. Look at it again. If you are 38 here, then that's all your life. If you're less than 38, it means the man has been sick for your entire life. You've gone to primary school, you've gone to secondary school, you've gone to the university. You've graduated, you've done NYSE, right? And then you've done what else again? You probably have married and have given birth. And that man, all your entire life, was sick. Plus extra. That's a long time to get used to a sickness. And Jesus said, will you be willing? Are you willing to be made whole? And the man started blabbing. I have nobody to put me in. He said, well, that's not the question. Are you willing? Because your willingness and God's power must meet in the same place. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power. So we start looking at God wants you to want it, or God wants you to want to. And we saw in Isaiah 1, go there. Again, when you come to church, you should open Bible. If you go to church and they are opening Quran, you know there's a problem. And if you are opening something, law of power, that's not church. Church is where we read God's word. We must read it enough to know that, yeah, we're in church. Amen. Isaiah 1. Verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many of you want the good of the land? The good of the land is not just spiritual, it's also natural. The good of the land. Take it natural. Take it verbatim. You want the good of the land.
I want the good of the land.
You know what how spoiled a country is? There's good there. I want the good of the land. Poverty is not a sin. It's just inconvenient. Amen. I've told you, both poverty and riches are not the fruit of the Spirit. Being wealthy does not mean you heard God right. And being poor does not mean you don't know God. You don't use money to judge people's faith. Just that poverty can be inconvenient. Amen. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So, the very best, I can have the very best, if I'm willing and obedient. This is God's word. But look at that word, willing. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. Willing. That means God plays attention on man's willingness. You might think, God is just interested in me doing it. Let me just pray, as long as I'm praying. God does not just want you to pray. He wants you to be willing to pray. God does not just want you to serve. He wants you to be willing to serve. God does not just want you to give. He wants you to be willing to give. You know, there are folks who just do things because why not? If I don't do it now, everybody's going to start looking at me somehow. Not because they're willing. And we're going to see that with Paul and how Peter also said it. Not because they're willing, but they just felt, I should be doing this. But God does not just want you to be doing this. He wants you to be willing to do this. 2 Corinthians 8. Are you there now? If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say, oh my God. Alright. Are you there now? Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Can we read verse 3 together? Want to go? For to their power, I bear record, yeah, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gifts and take upon us the fellowship of missions. So what is Paul saying? So that you don't start, you can, what is going on? He says, this church in Macedonia, financially, is a poor church. They don't have much. Because they are going through affliction. No money in circulation. He said, but they were willing, and they were even begging that let them minister to the needs of the saints. The issue there is not the giving. The issue there is the willing. We're in a world where people just do things, not because they're willing to do it, but because, let me just do it. If I ask how many people now, don't raise your hand, are willing to actually go to work tomorrow. If you had a choice, okay, if you had a choice, and you say, just choose, do you want to come to work tomorrow? How many of you will willingly say, yes, I want to? How many of us will say no? Okay, that's good. Even people who run their own businesses, they are saying no. Because sometimes you just don't feel like it. So willingness, the willingness is not there. You just want to go before your boss starts stressing you about salary. So charges. I saw a video online. You know this video where the boss will sit in front and then they will now say, good morning, ma. And I say, Taye, good morning, ma. Buki. So these ones, they had their own, and they say, see, we're saying the things they like about it. So, I like you, ma, but I don't like when you do this. And someone said, I like you, ma, but I don't like when you threaten your staff. And my mom was like, so don't take social media. They don't suck them now. Because I think they did it live. So there was no time to edit. I like you, ma, but I don't like when you threaten yourself. And the whole world is watching. The woman said, the man look back. Who is that? So that means she used to threaten them. I don't think they will come to work willingly. Amen. If they remove your salary today, will you show up? Willingness. And we're going to see what God has to say about it. But, he says, they were willing. Things start in the heart. Things start in the heart. God is a spirit. And what that means is that God sees your heart first. What does he mean by heart? Your thoughts and your intentions. Your thoughts and your intentions. That's so powerful. It's so powerful that whatever you do in your heart, even if you have not done it physically, God has seen it that you have done it. Let me explain that again. If I have it in my heart as a thought and intention, and it's genuine, God knows when it's genuine, right? God sees that I've done it. Abraham took Isaac, and he was about to slit the guy's throat. You know, if you're Isaac, sometimes I always imagine this scene in my head. And come on, I don't think I'll be Isaac, man. I'll have changed it to, Father, where are we going? Say junction. Yeah, okay. Which of the junction? Say just that one that you know there. Just that mountain where we used to worship. Where I am to worship. Say, so we're going to make sacrifice. Abraham said, yes. I can see the wood. I can see all the ingredients of sacrifice. The spices. Say, where is the sacrifice? Abraham looked at him. Yes. So what do you mean by yes? Where is the sacrifice? Yes. The Lord will provide. I think because Isaac is not Nigerian, sure. In typical Nigeria, I would have said, you will show me the sacrifice before we move. And they got to the mountain, and Abraham was actually about to kill. Let's put it like that. And God said, don't. Do you know, after that incident, everywhere you read it in the scriptures, you see that Abraham offered Isaac. Not he wanted to. Abraham, because to God, he offered his only son. Intentions and thoughts matter to God. You know, Jesus also now used it in the flip side. He said, if you look at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery. He said, you know, it is written in the law that thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Jesus said, it's not even that. If you look at a sister, whether at work, on the street, in the estate, in church, in mosque, if you look lustfully at a man or a woman, he said, you have committed adultery. So how many times have you committed adultery? You are watching movie, dear sister. You see that brother with packs. So, I'm about to do. You just say, fornicator. Because it's not just deeds, the art. Bergen, Reverend Kenneth Hagin, he said, God told him that God is not going to just reward what people have done, but things that they were unable to do, but they had intentions to do. That's powerful. That God is not just going to reward what people have done, but things they were unable to do, but had sincere intentions to do. So the heart matters to God. So the church in Macedonia, they didn't have the cash, but they were willing. The money is not the big deal with God. He gets his work done. Whether we decide to give to it or not, whether we decide to pray or not, God is never stranded. There's not a time you would think, God, this thing was not able to happen because I didn't partake. You know what Jesus said? I'm able to raise stones. When Saul thought that I'm the king of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the least of all tribes, I've now become the giant stone. And Samuel said, you're going to finish the Amalekites, that blood-sucking tribe. Yeah. You're going to finish them up. Nothing must remain. Saul said, I will spare the king and all the fat rams. I know God likes fat rams for sacrifice. And God said, Saul, you have been rejected. What Saul did on the surface, is he not pure? Eh? You go to war, you bring the spoils of war and say, we are going to praise God with this. We are going to drag the king of the Amalekites on the streets of Jerusalem. And we're going to say, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we waited for has come to pass. They were dragging the king. See what the Lord has done. And God said, I didn't send you that. The issue was not the sacrifice. It was not bringing back those things. It was Saul's heart. Are you with me this morning? We are in 2 Corinthians 8, right? Verse 11. I think we read this last week too. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. I'll read verse 12. Listen to verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, say first. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that that a man has. That means willingness makes it acceptable. If there is first a willing mind, he said, then it is acceptable. That means whatever is not done out of willingness is not acceptable to God. It's not blessable. I can give everybody here. I can't, right? Example. If I can give everybody here a car, don't come to me after service and say, where's my car? Example. If I give everybody here a car, it should be nice, yeah? You have your car now. Yes, I again. It's a greed. If I give everybody here a car, that's nice. Everybody starts saying, oh, Pastor, God bless him. Oh, what a nice man. And people that don't have to drive. And people that immediately after they collect the car, they will ruin it. But you know, as noble as that looks and beautiful, if it was not done from my heart, it's not blessable. If it was not done with the right intentions, the scripture says it's not blessable. May we not waste time. God told Samuel, he said, man looks at the outward. God looks at thoughts and intentions. Man looks at appearance. Man looks at what is being done. God looks at the heart. My heart is pure in the name of the Lord Jesus. God help my heart. So it says the heart of the giver makes it acceptable. Makes it blessable. If the willingness is there, then the gift is acceptable. Look at Philemon. You know the book of Philemon? Have you opened it this year? I say, where is that one? Just go to Hebrews. And then turn one page. Oh, you want Hebrews? No, why? You don't know where Hebrews is? Go to Hebrews. Then go to Philemon. Philemon is the book before Hebrews. Yeah. Just one chapter. So don't say Philemon chapter. Now, Philemon is a very wealthy man in the church. This is not a story. This is what the reality. He's a very wealthy man who once had a servant called Onesimus. You know the funny thing? The meaning of Onesimus is useful. That's the wordplay Paul did there. The meaning of his name is useful. But look at verse 11. After verse 10, let me start from verse 9. For Lord's sake, I rather beseech you, being such as Paul, as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ, I beseech you for my son Onesimus. Now, his son in the Lord, not Paul. Paul never had a child. My son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to you unprofitable, useless, but now useful to both me and you. I have sent him again that you may receive him in my bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in my stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Can we verse 14 together? But without your mind, I will do nothing. Wait. So, Paul is saying, the story is, Onesimus had done something, and he ran away from Philemon's house. Stole the cookie jar, stole the store money, sold car, and ran away. Something, yeah. He did something, and ran away. And stopped coming to church, obviously. Collected forex money. Collected forex money from brethren. This thing now crash. You know how to tell brethren. Now run away from church. Amen. If you are doing forex in this church, don't bother collecting money from anybody. I don't want to. I've said it now. There's nothing like, what will pastor say about this? Don't raise capital from brethren. Don't spoil church. Unless you must collect forex money from brethren. Say, come and invest. 13%. Come and invest. 20%. In a crash. In a runaway. Paul is now telling Philemon, I know he's a useless boy to you in the past, but he is now useful to me and to you. Take him. Take him like you are taking me. But look at what Paul said in verse 14, which is very important to me. He said, but without your mind, I would not do anything. That your benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Paul recognized that if you just take him because I said it, you have done nothing. God has not seen it that you have done anything. He says, so that you will not benefit nothing. So that your benefit will not be out of necessity, but willingly. Is it making sense? For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that you should receive him forever. So again, without your willingness, Paul said, I don't want you to do it. If you lead people, work on their willingness. It's not just about do it. Sometimes find out why it is difficult for people to do it. Are you listening to me? I don't know. I can't count how many times I've called people in this church. Some of you are seated here. Say, what's going on? Explain to me. I'll do it, sir. Mm-mm. The issue is not you doing it. Calm down. Walk me through your thought process. Walk me through what's going on in your mind. I want to know. Because naturally, when a man is born again, he is willing to do God's things. If you were born again sincerely, let me put that one, you will find out that there's just something at the beginning that is burning to just go to church. You want to join choir, you want to join usher, you want to join everything. I remember I was in every department. Where's Tamoyo? Sorry. Okay, she's with them, lighted out. I was taking the choir. I was in drama. AKAYD. I was in drama. What else? I was in everything. I was taking the teenagers Bible study. We used to call it Quiz Family. Which one again? I will lead praise and worship from the keyboard. Remember those days now? I've led praise and worship from drum before. As a drummer. Everything, I double dog. You just want to do everything. And when it's time for drama, you leave the keyboard again. You go and do costume. We had not used to do devil. You know, that issue. But they used to now use me to do someone that backslide, someone that devil is dealing with. I remember the one that mercy said no one. Every time we just pray, we will not be what we acted. Obviously. The ones that acted God, can it be God? We will not turn to what we acted. Because me, I'm always acting bad things. I was in drama. I was literally everywhere. Because it is one of the signs that you're born again. God wants to work out his will through you. So when that depletes and it looks like it has reduced, you need to find out why. Why don't I feel the same enthusiasm, the same heart, the same passion to want to follow after him, to want to chase after him? Why? Why am I now lackluster, apathetic? Why am I cold? Because your thoughts and intentions matter more than what you are even doing. I can be preaching here this morning, and if my heart is not in this ministry to God's people, then it's not blessable. May we not waste our best years. It's not blessable. He says, forced to be willing. That makes it acceptable. You can pray, but if you don't want to pray, it's unacceptable. How about that one? Hey, start prayer group. How can you be praying and be vexing for God? Because someone has to tell you, go and pray. Make sure you pray to join them today. So you go. And everything that's in your mind is this church self. I don't even understand. Every time prayer. And and you're boiling. Lord is thinking, that's his expression. It is there any? You have prayed, but is it blessable? God wants you to want to. So say, yeah, maybe that's why I will not just bother anymore. Get willing. Amen. You don't stop eating because they are fake drinks or they are fake. People are putting fake food or people are poisoning food. They are preparing food in unhygienic situations. You know, say, I will stop eating forever. Is that what you do? What do? You find the right food, the right drink, right? The solution to poison is not hunger. The solution is to find an healthy meal. The devil will have you tricked and say, you see, I told you I'm not doing it from your heart. I told you that day. And you think it's God that's talking to you. Why not just bother? Why not just not do it anymore? Just face the world. At least you are doing that one with your heart. You will become like Davido. God forbid. I don't think that's a good prayer. I heard one pastor praying. Say, you will become like whiskey, like Davido. I said, how do you pray for your member to become like a whiskey? She whiskey in the church. No? She's serving Jesus. I don't know what kind of prayer that is. That's a prayer fueled by materialism and stupidity by the side. You can't say you become like Reinhard Bonnke. You can't say you become like the Pope. Yeah? Are those not good examples? You won't become like people that are smoking about. You don't even know what's going on in your life. You know how many demons are assigned to him. May you not pray stupid prayers. Amen. God sees the heart. And he rewards you, not just based on what you are able to do or not do, but what you wanted to. Look at Malachi. Ooh, I should be rounding up soon. Malachi. You know where Malachi is? That one is easy now. Last book of the Old Testament. Start closing soon. Malachi 1. Verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant honors his master. This is God talking to Israel. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Say the Lord of hosts. O priest that despise my name. And you say, where have we despised it? Now, if you say despise, I think the modern meaning to despise in our heads is to detest, right? Yeah. I despise this. Well, biblically, despise is as simple as to ignore. To treat as unimportant. When you were said that Saul despised Esau, rather, I don't know what Saul has done to me. You see Saul, eh? I think I mentioned Saul in almost all my teachings. I was still teaching somewhere on Thursday. Was it on Thursday, bro? Or Friday? Friday, okay. At Ikeja. And I still mentioned Saul. Immediately I mentioned Saul. Something in my heart pricked. I said, what is this man do to me? Every teaching. Saul, Paul, for different reasons. May you not be remembered for the wrong things. Amen. Esau despised his birthright. Now, Esau did not detest it. He didn't say, I don't need it. He just ignored it. He didn't see it as important. He didn't see it as valuable. So, God is asking, he said, you have despised my name. And you are saying, where have we despised it? Verse 7, Malachi 1, look at the Bibles. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted you? In that you say the table of the Lord is contemptible. You offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not evil? You offer the lame and the sick. Is it not evil? So God is saying, of everything you are going to offer me, you want to bring a sick sheep. He's going to die anyway. So you offer it. It's a plant. The plant that has turned yellow. You say, let's go offer this to God. You say, you have despised my name. Observe what God is saying. He didn't say, it's about the blind stuff. It's about the art behind it. You despised my name. Observe what he now said. In verse 8. You offer the blind for sacrifice. Is he not evil? You offer the lame and the sick. Is he not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept the person? Says the Lord of hosts. He's saying, can you offer it to someone who you dignify? There are folks here. If the governor is coming to your house tomorrow, you know how you're going to prepare, right? You probably even want to rent another house. He say, this one, you can't come here. No, not this one. So what we're going to do is, we're going to rent this place. And we're going to, you now start calling carpenter, plumber. If even the places that the governor will not reach, the streets of your house, even your local government chairman will tie it. Why? The governor is coming. But they want to do house fellowship in your house. They don't even care. There was one brother like that. He used to do house fellowship in his house. And he would not even come out. He's inside the room. Hallelujah. Lovely brother. But we thank God for his life. Amen. At least we use his house for a while. Amen. How did they do house fellowship in your house? And you stay sleeping. It's like, if it were the governor, you'd be blushing like an idiot. Anything they say, yes sir. You have a lovely, yes sir. Oh, you eat sir. Why? It's the governor. May they not go demolish your house. God said, so the reason behind your offering of the blind is not because that's all you have to offer. It's because you see me as less. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward. God looks at the heart. That's not going to ignore it. Intent matters. There's a reason why some people will experience more miracles in their lives than others. Not because God is partial. Reverend Kate Moore was sharing about, he went to preach in one of the Asian countries. Now when I say Kate Moore, not the anatomy, Kate Moore. In one of the Asian countries, and he said, for people to get to that service, they would have walked, there's no cow, they would have walked, the least person that would walk at least 6 hours. They would have started the journey days, so they would start, stop, to get to a service. So some would have to journey for days. They would take the train, then the train would stop them at where there's actually no commuting anywhere, you have to now walk. 6 hours. Are you telling me that kind of person will not probably not get blessed more than the one? I've heard people, you hold meeting. Their house is there. Church is here. I was very tired. It's very tired, really. I remember we had one meeting in Ibadan some years ago. My friends and someone traveled down from Kaduna. That was the first time I would see that kind of. Of course, I've seen it over the years now. But that was the first time. Traveled down from, was it Kaduna? No, Zaria. Abu. Ahmadu Bello University. From Zaria to Ibadan. For a night vigil. One. And when we were done, left the next morning. In fact, when I was teaching in that meeting, I was judging myself and saying, God, I beg. Because that is, that's outwardly. Zaria. How far is Zaria? You know how far Zaria is. You have been there before. You've passed there before. Thank you. I know, because I know you traveled everywhere. I mean, who else has been to Zaria? Yeah? Yeah? Who else? But David, I see you on the wall. That's that joy. Zaria, what are you going to do, Zaria? Oh, wow. You said, hey. Thank God for NYSC. Someone came from Zaria for night vigil. Not a retreat, not a program of 5 days. For a night vigil, you left Zaria. Ah. Oh, more. God must bless him. The art matters. How you treat it. God is not just interested in what you do. He's in why you want to do it. What your thoughts, what are your intentions behind it. And I pray that our heart stays willing to God's voice. Amen. That we don't waste our years. Amen. So, this is God talking to church in Israel. Malachi, the same Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. As I verse 12. But you have profaned it in that you say the table of the Lord is polluted and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Look at verse 13. You said also. This God saying, you said. Sorry, did they see God when they were saying it? No. But God heard. The things you say in your room, about yourself leader, about the church, God is saying, you said also. Ha! God can hear everything. He created the ears. He created the mouth. So the next time you're about to talk, God is hearing. You know, they say the walls have ears. God has ears too. God said, you said also, behold, what a weariness this is. What a weariness this is. Have we ever said, in fact, this serving God, everything, what a weariness this is. God is saying, why are you despising it? He didn't say they didn't do it. They sacrificed, but they said, what a weariness it is. Our heart is where God's attention is. God help my heart. Say, you said also. What a weariness this is. And you have snuffed at it. So, does it make a difference how people talk about God's things? Does it make a difference how people talk about God's things? Because God hears. He says, you snuffed at it, said the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn, the lame, the sick, and you brought an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Willingness makes it acceptable. It's a privilege to teach. It's a privilege. Finally, 1 Peter 5. Every time I say finally, some people in their hearts just say, But finally. Paul said finally, and it was halfway through the book of 1 Corinthians. How do you say finally, and he still wrote 2 Corinthians? But finally, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you exhort I, who am also an elder. Okay, I'll wait for you. Still okay? Say, God wants you to want to. Say to your neighbor. Say, God wants you to want to. God wants you to want to pray. God wants you to want to serve. God wants you to want to give. God wants you to want to preach. God wants you to want to pray. Amen. Say, God wants you to want it. It's not just about doing it. God wants you to want to do it. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you exhort I, whom also am an elder. That's Peter, not me. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock, play for me as a close, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Look at that. Paul is talking to the elders. These are pastors, people who teach. He says, take oversight of God's people, not by constraint, but willingly. That appears to, that instructs both sides. That means those who you are taking oversight for, of, must serve the Lord willingly, not by constraint. Sit people down, explain to them why we do what we do. Why? Why would I stand here every Sunday morning and I'm teaching? Why is that willingness there? You know, I could be a travel blogger. That's one of the things I like. I don't like traveling, but I like new destinations. Funny how they can't work together. You have to like traveling to like new destinations because you're not going to disappear. I like to go around the world. Amen. And I'll do that. Wait, you don't have to say amen for that one for me. That one is a personal ambition. I will go around the world preaching the gospel. You can say amen now. I'm talking about sometimes in my head, I'm looking at what do the people in Malta do? It goes on in my head. What do the people in Singapore, what do they say? What do they do? How do they dress? I just want to, then after everything, I'll come back and say, Ebenezer. Hallelujah. I like it. But this morning, I'm not somewhere in Malta. I could be, if I want to, I could be in the United Kingdom if I want to. I'm a fast visa on. I could be anywhere in the world if I want to. But somehow, there's a willingness to stay put and feed the flock. Not by constraint. And Paul is saying, Peter is saying, this is how you treat God's things. Willingly. So if my heart is not yielding willingly, I need to work on my heart. It just takes a moment of repentance. One moment. And you say what? You know what? I'm going to change it from thinking like this. And I'm going to ensure my heart is in this. You heard that I was talking to Prophet. I said, I understand your schedule and all of that because he's quite a busy man in the natural. Amen. You soon be busy spiritually now because I'll be sending them to teach for me. Sometimes, I don't want to go to some places. Amen. I'm shy. Well, you know, as a pastor, you can't be shy, right? But I'm shy. So I'll be sending them prophet. You know, he's very skilled with God's word. Hallelujah. You don't know. Have you heard him teach before? He will teach us through our retreat. The instructions and all of that. He will give us the mind of God. The one that me, I cannot touch. Because they have access to deep things. You know, we are growing in Christ, all of us. The only two of them. They've grown. First, Peter says, not by constraint, but willingly. I delight to do your will, O God. Willingly. So get willing. Like I said, it takes a moment of repentance. It takes simple-heartedness. It takes a moment of prayer. And you know what? God, help me. Help me to delight in doing your things. Help me. Help me to be pure-hearted, to be simple-hearted, like a child, to what you want for the same reasons you want them. To not waste my years, to not waste my time. Help me, inspire me to be that vessel that exudes your will, that exudes your plan, that wants to do your things every time. Help me to see it as an honor, a privilege. You know, one of the things I learned, or I'm still learning, is that it's an honor to serve the Lord. I've told you before. I'm saying it again, it's an honor. Every time I stand to preach, it's an honor. God could have used someone else. In an alternate world, it could be you standing near me sitting there. But somehow, it's an honor. And I'm going to ensure my heart is in the work. Because God doesn't just look at what you do. He looks at your heart. Do you really want to do it? What did God call David? A man after my own heart. We didn't see that. We didn't really see that physically. David slept with Bathsheba. Killed Uriah. His atrocity outclassed Saul's. King Saul was here now. Saul didn't do anything. He was a nice guy. Small disobedience. Small. But God said, nah, it's not really that Saul brought back the offering. It is his heart. What did God see in Paul? Paul was killing Christians. In fact, when God met him, he was on a mission. It was not that God met him in prayer house. No, he was about to go and kill some other ones. He had their name, their list. And God said, there's something about his heart that works for my kingdom. And like Paul, in a moment of repentance, a man can flip from darkness to light. Can flip from the wrong intentions to the right path. I believe that's us this morning. That we begin to delight to do your will. I will to do your will, O Lord. Can we just bow our heads in prayer? Just pray for yourself. Lord, help my heart. And if you are part of the people I said when I started teaching about cast your burdens upon the Lord, He will sustain you. Just pray about that too. He's seeking the body. That's a body. Lord, help me Help me. Sustain me. The passion that burns in those who meet you, let it burn in me. The grand desires of those who have fellowship with you, let it be my desire. For desire is the tree of life. Help me to see the world the way you see it. Fill my heart with your purpose. Fill my eyes with your dreams. Fill my heart with the passion that is yours. With a holy passion. Give me your ambition. Help me to want what you want. For the same reasons you want them. Help me to serve you more diligently. I won't walk on the path of destruction. I won't be impressed with my own wisdom. Rather, I will trust you with all my heart. And every day of my life, I'll hear your voice. I will always know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I won't walk away from your plans. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help my willingness. Show me your way. Show me your glory.